There are times when God conceals His purposes as a means of leading His people in the path of His choosing. If we had known when we came to this place how long we would spend at this place, we would not have consented to such an arrangement. It was somewhat disheartening, even as it was, when we considered what we had left behind us in the years we spent at our facility at Rose Garden Lane. But we believed that moving here would enable us to conserve our financial resources so that we could pursue the construction of a church building on property that we owned on Paradise Lane in Glendale. But it was less than a year after we moved here that we realized that the project we envisioned would be financially impossible. It was obvious to us then, though we didn't know exactly why, that the Lord had moved us here for another purpose. Ultimately, and it took a long time, but ultimately we learned what it was. The vacant land that we owned for 4 years, on which we had hoped to build, became the source of a tremendous fund that we have now used to purchase and develop a new home for this congregation. To such an extent that when we move into this facility this week, we will have hardly any debt on it at all. These final services at this location today are an opportunity for us to reflect on all that the Lord has done. When Samuel set up the stone that he called Ebenezer, it was to serve as a reminder to the people of God that God had helped them mightily, especially in the faces of their enemies. They were to remember the mighty acts of the Lord. And I hope to speak a little bit about that this evening. So today we are like Samuel of old. Today, as it were, in our minds, we are setting a stone so that we do not forget that when we were sometimes in despair and perplexity as to the direction of the Lord was still directing us. I suppose that is one of the greatest lessons to be learned from the years that we have spent here in this location. When we left Moon Mountain School back in 1997, we left there not sure where we were headed. We were like Abraham. We were going out not knowing where we were going exactly, except that we knew that for a few months at least we were going to be worshiping in a hotel. But the Lord knew where we were headed. And when it came some years later that we had to leave the facility that we had enjoyed at Rose Garden Lane to move to this location, we did that move certain that we knew the direction of God, certain that we knew that by the end of the following year, we would move into our own church building in Glendale. But that move was not in the purpose of God. But we leave this location after these services today to arrive at the place tomorrow that God, in His infinite wisdom, has designed for us. We believe that the future of God's work is bright. And today we pause in this place to raise our figurative stone and to call it Ebenezer. I want you to think upon Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I was thinking in preparing for this day that it was 26 years ago this month, just a couple weeks back now, that the congregation of our mother church, Faith Free Presbyterian, in Greenville, South Carolina, moved into a brand new building on Haywood Road in Greenville. That was a great occasion. Although I remember people from the congregation busily engaged on the very day of the dedication of the building. They were out on the grounds around the building raking under the direction of our late brother Johnny Gresham, raking, getting the landscaping in shape for the opening of the building. That was a time for rejoicing. That building was dedicated to the ministry of the gospel. But it was also a time for the people to reflect on the work that God had done for the congregation in its previous home on Sharon Drive in another part of the city. And so it must be for us today. In the words of our text, the Lord had just given the people a great deliverance from the hands of their enemies. The Philistines were threatening them, threatening once again to overwhelm them in battle. And the Lord thundered upon them, we read. Gave them a great deliverance. And Samuel was desirous that they not forget what the Lord had done. And so as a visible reminder to them, he took a stone. This was a practice that had gone on for a long time, where they would set up a stone pillar. Not something that they had carved or crafted, but just setting a stone up. And he called the name of this stone Ebenezer, the stone of help. Its function was to remind the people of what God had done. It was then much the same in its function as the memorial stones that Joshua had commanded the people to take out of the Jordan River. They set those stones outside the Jordan River. They piled them up there so that in future generations, when people would say, "What mean ye by these stones?" then they could tell the story of how God had opened the river for the people of God to cross over into the promised land. It was to be a reminder of the Lord's intervention. And that such intervention has a very direct application to the Lord's people in every generation. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, Samuel said. The Lord's help, you see, is not some kind of philosophical abstraction. It is rooted in historical reality. Samuel was talking about the Lord's help in dealing with the threat of the Philistines. And when we speak about the Lord's help for us, it is rooted in historical reality. The history of this church is a record of God's gracious dealings with us. When you think of the things we have seen in the places where God has led us, you have to say with Samuel, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And the argument of Samuel was that the evidence of the Lord's help in the past is a powerful witness, a powerful predictor of the Lord's help in the future. The Lord has not helped us in the past only to leave us now to make it the rest of the way on our own. At the end of the day, the Lord is in a covenant relationship with us. It's very easy for us to lose sight of that reality. But that is a relationship that can never be broken. It can never be severed. It is the Lord who has said that He would never leave us or forsake us. Now, that covenant relationship speaks to us ultimately of the redemption wrought by Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did not purchase His church at the cost of His own blood to ignore His church. It is His prized possession. Here is the exposition of grace. How the Lord Jesus Christ could regard the likes of us as His prized possession would be something we could never hope to explain. But here is the reality of it. In His church, He finds great joy and great delight. And that's a theme on which we do well to meditate on this last day here at this location. When we think about our text today, there are two statements that I want to make about Ebenezer. The first statement is, the past is an epilogue of divine intervention. The past is an epilogue of divine intervention. An epilogue is a summary, if you will. It's a recap. It's what comes at the end. When you look at the past, you find there a summary of divine intervention. The very fact that this church exists at all is an indication that God has moved in the past. That God called this church into existence in answer to the prayers of His people is a fact that is beyond dispute. I found it out after the fact, but it is the fact that before this church began holding its services here, there were people in this city. And some of them are still in this congregation to this very day who have been praying for a witness to be raised up here for the preaching of the gospel of grace in the context of Reformed theology. And God heard their cries. In that ministry that God committed to our care, it has always been our intention to lift up, to exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have never set out, and by God's grace we're not going to start doing it now. We have never set out to embrace the contemporary philosophy of church growth, church marketing, church building. Now some may think that this approach is more suited to the first century than to the 21st century. But what we are doing here is following the model of the apostles. I'd rather follow the model of the apostles than the model of Joel Osteen or somebody of that ilk. We have the promise of Christ to encourage us in the work that we have been called to do. The vision of Christ has focused our attention in this church again and again on the person and the work of the Savior. That we have a Savior who is God manifest in the flesh, very God of very God, and at the same time truly human, fully God, fully human. having these two distinct natures combined in one glorious person. We are here to preach Christ in His fullness, not to preach Him merely as some noble teacher or some positive example, but to lift Him up as the God-man, the only mediator between God and men. That's what we have been doing here. We have been dealing with the work that the Savior came to do, not only the work of which we have often thought the work that He did on the cross, but let's not overlook the work of His active obedience, standing in the place of His people and obeying the law in their behalf, for their benefit. We are here to preach that. And as Peter said in his second epistle, even though we know that many of those who come to sit under the sound of the word have heard these things again and again, we're going to continue to preach them. We are reformed in our doctrine. I want to emphasize that again today. That has been our history. By God's grace, that will continue to be our future. We are reformed in our doctrine. That is, we are Calvinists. We're not ashamed of that grand theological heritage. I hope that our series last year, that we called the Calvin Quincentenary, I hope that that made the point as strongly as it can be made. We're not ashamed of the grand theological heritage that is ours. We are Calvinists. And I do mean that in every way. We are Protestants. That is, we're not ashamed of our heritage in the glorious work of the Protestant Reformation. We're not looking for some way to say, oh, isn't it awful that that had to happen? No, it's not awful. It's a glorious thing. The gospel that the apostles preached was recovered. People could hear again the way in which they could be saved, justified by faith alone. All those things are true. But I want us never to lose sight of this, that we are above all Christians. And that is, we are seeking to make Christ known as He is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Because without the Christ of the Bible, and let me tell you that as the Bible itself says, there are many false Christs abounding in the world today. But without the Christ of the Bible, you don't have Christianity. I don't know what these churches are doing that have these magnificent edifices and they gather together. They don't believe the Bible, and they don't believe in the Christ of the Bible, and they're not Christians. Without the Christ of the Bible, there would be no reason for us to exist one more day. Our testimony is that again and again in this place, and in the other places previously where we have met to worship God, we have seen the Lord's glory revealed in the person of His Son. We have not, and by God's grace we will not, surrender to the pessimistic legacy that marks so much of God's work now that it's all over. That God is not working anymore. Not surrendering to the heresy of people like Harold Camping, who goes about teaching that the church is finished. Now, that's not what the Bible says. And I'm glad to stand on the side of the Bible against heretics like him. We are looking for the Lord to do great things. Are the circumstances in society bleak? You better believe it. They're getting worse all the time. Political leadership is corrupt and bankrupt. Religious leadership is also corrupt and bankrupt. But we are looking for God to make Himself known in these circumstances. The intervention of God, that is what we see when we look at the past. It has given us a devotion to the Bible, to the Holy Scriptures. So that we have said many times over the years, and say it without hesitation again today, whatever the Bible says is so. We are not here to analyze the Bible in the sense of bringing it into disrepute, finding ways in which we can cast doubt upon it. That has never been the ministry of this church, and it never will be, at least as long as I am here. And I trust by God's grace as long as any of my successors is here. We subscribe to the Scriptures, to an infallible book, inspired immediately by the Holy Ghost. And we commit ourselves afresh, as we have through all the days that have gone, to the proclamation of the Scriptures in a world that wishes to hear anything but the truth. That's what we are about. Now, we have faced times of great trial through the history of our congregation. There have been notable attacks from the devil that were meant to discourage us, that were meant to cause the work of God to cease. But I was thinking this morning of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in the work of building the wall. And the opponents of the people of God came and said, "Oh, let's have a parley. Let's have a discussion. You come down from the work of building the wall and we'll have a talk." And Nehemiah said to them, "I'm doing a great work. I can't come down." They wanted to meet in the plain of Ono. And Nehemiah said to them, "Oh no, I am not coming down. We are engaged in the work of Christ. We are desirous for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. So let there be encouragement. In looking at the past for every soul today, the best is yet to be." And as much as there was a contrast between where we were at Rose Garden Lane and where we have been for these last nearly 6 years, there's going to be an even greater contrast between where we are today and where we're going to be by God's grace tomorrow. And there's a message for us in that reality. You may face sore trials in your own circumstances. You may be tempted to wonder how God can possibly intervene in your situation. Those thoughts are always with us. Let's hear the words that Samuel spoke. "Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The purchase and development of the building to which we are about to move is itself an indication of God's intervention. So when we look at the past, what do we see? The intervention of God. We see it in our own lives individually, do we not? And we see it in the work of Christ. When we look at the past, we see something else. That's the second statement from the text. The past is a prologue to divine faithfulness. It was evident from Samuel's testimony that what had already happened was not the end of the story. I'm glad of that. Sometimes you can rehearse the past and, well, that's nice, all that happened. But what connection does that have to anything? Well, Samuel's implication was that's not the end. Samuel's message was there was going to be the fulfillment of what God had purposed and promised in sending forth the Redeemer. Not very long after these events in chapter 7, we come to the reign of King Saul. And Saul very quickly made a mess of the kingdom. He reigned a year and he did pretty well, but that was about it. He hit a real sophomore jinx, you would say. He came into a time when he was turning to his own thoughts and his own advice. In that time, God said that he had found a man after his own heart, and Samuel was commissioned to set that man apart. I want you to look at those references in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. Samuel said to Saul, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And let's turn to chapter 16 and verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And that chapter unfolds the story of how that king was found. Not among Jesse's sons that he thought, one of these surely must be the one, but that young man out there keeping the sheep. He was the one. The Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." And in the act of anointing David, Samuel was giving testimony to the fact that God would be faithful to all his promises. Messiah must come through David's line. God would bring to pass all that he had purposed. And such a prospect, I tell you, is no less certain for us as we leave this location behind us. Our God has been faithful to us in the days that have gone into history. Now, there have been things that have happened while we have been meeting in this location that have given us great encouragement. We have seen two of our young people profess faith in Christ and follow the Lord in baptism while we have been worshiping here in this location. We have seen those young people go away to Bob Jones University to prepare themselves for the service of Christ in whatever field He will direct them to serve in. We have witnessed during the time we have been in this place the constitution of our denomination as a separate denomination here in North America. The meeting that we held as a congregation to approve that, to join that denomination, took place in this very room. We have basked in the fellowship and the ministry of God's servants who have come to us here in this place. These things are a prologue to the rest. That is, the God who has proved Himself faithful in His intervention in the days that have gone is going to continue to prove Himself faithful in the days that lie ahead. That was Samuel's message. That was the message of the stone. The message of Ebenezer. The whole point of it was for the people not to surrender to the sense of foreboding and despair that so easily settles upon the people of God. have to say, there's no doubt the Lord has helped us before. Up till now, the Lord has helped us. Why will He not continue to help us? So that underneath we find again, as Moses said, the everlasting arms of our mighty God. And as we leave this place to launch out into that which God has before us in our new building, we have the assurance that the God who has helped us will help us. That is true for us as a people, as a congregation. It must be true for us as families and as individuals. God will help His people. I am glad to proclaim to you such a God today. God who is concerned for you. A God who has sent Christ to redeem you. And a God who now calls you to be faithful to Him. To persevere to the very end. Because the end is not yet. And indeed the best is yet to be. We have learned not to despise the day of small things. I hope you have learned not to despise them, because God's work is going on. Whether there are many or few, God's work is going on. It has been going on here. And by God's grace, it will go on when we have left this place. We are seeking the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Hitherto, the Lord help.